The following lecture by Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg was recorded live and is presented to you free of charge by Galilei Institute. Your donation will help us to bring an ever-expanding selection of quality audio lectures by Rabbi Ginzburg. Galilei Institute is a non-profit organization and all donations are tax-deductible in the USA. To donate, just click on the Donate button on the Inner Dimension homepage at www.inner.org. www.inner.org or email us at inner@inner.org.
The third Torah portion of the third book of the Torah is Shmini. It's the day of the inauguration. Shmini is the eighth, means eighth. It's the eighth day, the day that the tabernacle was finally inaugurated. And discusses the sacrifice, the special sacrifices that were brought just on that day, and also other things that happened, other events, good and actually also some not so good, that happened exactly on that day. After describing the day of the inauguration of the tabernacle, the Torah continues to discuss various general laws that pertain to the whole Jewish people in all times, whether the temple is standing or not. And one of the most important topics of this week's portion is the topic of kashrut. Kashrut is all of the dietary laws, what is kosher and what is forbidden to eat, what is permissible to eat and what is forbidden to eat. What does this have to do with the general topic of the whole book of sacrifices? As we have been explaining over the last 2 weeks, that sacrificing oneself or a part of oneself, a thinking, and knowing that one should be always ready and willing to give up oneself to Hashem, thereby becoming close to Hashem, thereby becoming able to receive the calling of Hashem to go out and bring other people close to Hashem. So that's to sacrifice them to Hashem is as though when the sacrifice is burnt on the altar. The idiom in Hebrew and in the Torah is though we're giving God food, that we're feeding Hashem. He's consuming, the sacrifice is becoming consumed. The word to become consumed in Hebrew is the same as to eat. There are certain sacrifices, as we explained 2 weeks ago, that just are totally burnt offerings, that the whole entire sacrifice is burnt, is given to Hashem. The other sacrifice, that part of it is given to Hashem and part is eaten by the priest. There's even other type of sacrifice, that part is given to Hashem, part to the priest, and part to the person that brought the sacrifice. About the priest's eating from the flesh of the sacrifice, that this has to do especially with sin offerings. When a person brings a sacrifice to atone for his sins, so it says that not only does the sacrifice itself produce, result the atonement for the sin, but actually the very fact that the priest eats the sacrifice, when he's eating, his very eating atones for the sinner. This is an amazing thought, that a person eats and is atoning for someone else by his just eating. So actually the priest is a representative of Hashem. He's also a representative of the Jewish people. It's an intermediate. So it's the task that divinely he's being charged with in his temple service. But actually from first the fact that we see that the altar consumes, and then the priest consumes, and then finally the possessor, the bringer, the one who brought the sacrifice, also was able to consume part of certain sacrifices. This all lends our thoughts to conceive and realize that the ultimate purpose of a Jew, especially in the receiving inspiration from the temple, even when it doesn't stand, is that he also should be able to eat in a holy way. And his eating in a holy way is also atoning, his very eating and even enjoying what he's eating, at a certain level atoning, is either atoning for himself, It's also part of the sacrifice process of coming close to Hashem. We're taught that in different foods there are sparks, maybe sparks of other souls. Sometimes in the food you have reincarnations of souls. And when you eat the food in holiness, you're atoning for that soul that is reincarnated in that food or in that animal. There are all kinds of infinite possibilities. But one of the most important things that we learn from the whole service of the sacrifice is that we also have to eat as the altar eats in holiness and as the priests eat in holiness. And this is the simple reason that following the description of the various sacrifices, so then the Torah, one of the topics that the Torah addresses immediately is kashrut, is how to eat. And what to eat, and what is permissible and what is forbidden to eat. The permissible things to eat are those things that we can elevate, it's called. We can elevate through eating them. Through our consumption, we elevate them just like the altar elevated the sparks of the sacrifices by consuming them. What is forbidden to eat is what we can't elevate. Now, the eating of man is even more compound than the sacrifices in the temple, because the sacrifices in the temple were just certain animals and other elements of creation that are sacrificed, not everything. They were just representative parts of even the kosher foods that were actually sacrificed in the temple service. But when a human being eats, or a Jew eats, in accordance with all of the laws of kashrut that are discussed in this week's parasha of Shmini, so he has a much, much wider diet. One of the things that a man eats, and is very, very important for people to eat, as discussed in Kabbalah, is fish. Now, fish is not an object. There's no fish that's sacrificed in the temple, ever. But fish is a very, very important element of the human diet, especially in Kedusha and holiness. Even as we mentioned before, sometimes there are souls that are present in foods. So we're taught in Kabbalah that the great tzaddikim sometimes are present in fish more than other things altogether. So if you eat a fish with the proper thoughts, so you also become a fish. So that's the meditation. You become a holy tzaddik who is a fish. Now this is the meditation of this week of Shmini. It's how to eat fish and thereby turn into holy fish. As we say, what does it mean to turn into a holy fish? Fish swim in the ocean, in waters. So that every Jewish soul that is learning Torah, in the temple service, all of the service, you had to know all of the laws, and you just had to do it. The temple service was deed. It wasn't learning. It was deed, doing, ma'asehu aikar, with action. No classes in the temple. Sometimes the Torah was read, just so you can read the Torah in the synagogue. But Torah study was adjacent, the Sanhedrin, the court, the high court, was adjacent to the temple, but wasn't actually part of the temple service. I mean, the Torah study wasn't exactly part of the temple service, but everything must begin and derive from the study of the Torah. When King Solomon built the temple in Jerusalem, he built a sea, a yam. It just stood there. It stood also on 12 cattle, his sea that he built. So something about the sea that he built was a pool of water. It had water in it. Nobody swam in that yam, Hashlomo, but it was there. So it definitely represented something about the Torah. The Torah is called water, and when souls swim in the water like fish, so those are the Torah scholars, especially when a person devotes himself to the inner dimension, to the secret of the Torah, he's called Nuneyama, he's the fish of the sea. When people only learn and devote themselves to the legal aspect, which is called the body, the laws of the Torah, then he is likened to a land animal. because that's the revealed part of the Torah. But when he studies the deeper parts of the Torah, he's likened to the secrets, the inner concealed dimension of the Torah, he's likened to a fish. So once more, when a person, even in the Gemara says that in order to sharpen one's mind, to learn the Talmud, it's good to eat meat, to eat meat of cattle. And if you're at that level, that's very, very good to sharpen your mind in learning the legal parts of the Torah. But in order to learn the mysteries, the deep mystery of the Torah, then the most advisable part of your diet should be fish. Because that's what it means. In general, even Rabbi Akiva, in relation to the Torah in general, were called fish in the sea. The Torah is our water, called the Torah is our life and the length of our days. We can't live, just like Rabbi Akiva said, that taking a Jew out of the Torah is like taking a fish out of the sea, and he can't continue to exist, to live. So we all need to be fish in any event for our Jewishness to remain viable, alive. Alright, so therefore, as we just now mentioned, the meditation that we're going to meditate upon this week is about the kosher fish, because just like everything, there are fish that are kosher and there are fish that are not kosher. The kosher fish have to have two different signs to them that identify them as being kosher. They're called fins and scales, snapir and kaskeset. The fins, the way that the sages define these two elements that the Torah explicitly mentions in this week's parsha, the snapir and the kaskeset, are that the fins are what makes it possible for the fish to swim, that he swims with his fins. But the scales, God, the scales are like shells, it's like armor, that the fish has a certain armor to him, like scales, because the very same word that means scales is used in another context as armor, that he is dressed in these scales that are little shells one over the other, klipin. It's positive shells. Sometimes the word shell is a negative, has a negative context to it. But here, if the fish doesn't have these scales, which are these shells, he's not kosher. Now, the Chazal say a very, very amazing thing about these two signs, our sages teach us. It says that every fish in the world that has scales will automatically have fins. There's no fish in the seas that possesses scales and does not possess fins. So if that's the case, the question is obvious. If every fish that has scales must have fins, so why does the Torah have to make a point that there are two signs of the kosher fish, that you have to have both the scales and fins? The Torah should just say scales, and that's enough. There must be a deep reason that the Torah says something which seems to be unnecessary. The Torah never says anything which is unnecessary to be stated. So why does the Torah have to mention the fins in the first place? So the thought that, or the explanation that is given in the Talmud itself when the sages ask this question, is that the fins here are just for the sake of enhancing the beauty of the Torah. Yagdil Torah v'yadir. That really there's no, what are the sages saying? That really there's no reason that the fins have to be stated. But there's something about stating the fins nonetheless, even though they're not necessary for the law, that by telling us that the kosher fish have fins, meaning that they can swim, this very fact itself enhances the beauty of the Torah. So first of all, the first thing that we learn from this is that this one's brother, something intrinsic about fish which has to do with the essence of the Torah. It's just in relation to fish, not in relation to anything else, that the Torah make a point of stating something which is for the pure reason of enhancing itself, enhancing the Torah. I mean, the fish is here a self-reference for the whole Torah, more than any other object, because we don't find this thought with regard to any other object. Just that here, once more, a very, very unusual thing, that the something which is unnecessary logically to state is stated for the pure reason of enhancing, enlarging, and beautifying the Torah itself. Yagdil Torah v'yadir. It's very, very interesting that that word to enhance the Torah is the same word whose root means the month of Adar, whose mazal, whose sign is fish. So once more, about the fish is said, Yagdil, even the word which means to become, to enlarge, also has in it the word dag, fish. And the second word, to become enhanced and beautified, is the same root as the month whose mazal is fish, dagim. So this once more, this to now give us an initial awareness and experience that the fish here represent Torah. Now, what do these two signs mean in our study of the Torah? Once more, now we're becoming fish, and we have to know that to be a kosher fish, we have to have fins and scales. Snap your uncas cassette. The Ramban will make a very, very important observation. The Ramban, Nachmadides, one of the greatest of the commentaries on the Torah, explains that fish that have fins and scales usually swim at the top of the water, very close to the surface of the sea. And therefore, they experience the air and the water simultaneously. And that's what actually makes them kosher. Whereas if a fish does not have fins and scales, it lives deep down at the base or the bottom of the sea, and then it becomes liable to illness, it becomes sick. And that's why it's not advisable, it's not healthy even to eat, neither on a physical level nor on a spiritual level. So once more, there's something about having fins and scales that even though you're in the water and you live by the water, just choose, but you're very close to the air. We know that on the fifth day of creation, God created both the fish and the birds, not the animals. The fish and the birds mean that there's something very similar that connects the fish to the birds. What's similar? So that both fly. The word here that is used by the sage to swim, that the fins are for the sake of swimming, is the exact same word as to fly. It's called shat in Hebrew. Fish that swim in their medium, there are two mediums. One is the medium of water, the other is the medium of air. So once more, if we picture in our mind, in our heart, the fish swimming, especially at the top, not at the bed of the sea, at the top of the sea, he's flying in the water, just like the birds are flying in the air. That's one of the important common denominators between the fish and the birds. Now, the wings, we know about a bird, that even if he does not possess wings, he still can be kosher. Even if his wings are cut off, the bird can still remain kosher. In the same way, we just now saw that even if a fish doesn't, or appears, maybe the fins are not apparent, if we see scales, that's enough to become kosher. because we know that essentially he must possess also the fins, whether they're present or not present in actuality. Meaning that the flying, the fins are for the sake of flying, just like the wings of a bird. The flying is an extra bonus. But it's an extra bonus that either a bird or a fish has, which is very, very essential, even though it doesn't make you unkosher if you can't fly. It's the unique experience that we'll call it makes life worth living. That's the way it's explained in Chassidut. But if you can't fly, so you are so poor in your experience that it's as though, what am I here for in the first place? Even though you can still be kosher, 100% kosher, but all of the beauty and the joy of life has been cut away if you can't fly. So what does this all mean in reference to the Torah, since the fish are the most essential symbol of the Torah and the Torah scholar? And eating fish, by eating fish I identify with that, it just has to be kosher fish. In learning to the Torah, there are two dimensions of learning Torah. One is called in Hebrew Pekut, which means to learn from the text, from the classic text, whether it's the Bible, the Tanakh, or the Mishnayot, is learning as much as you can. Every day you have to learn, the morning and the evening, you have to learn over, you have to repeat, go over your learning over and over again until you remember your learning. This is called learning more and more content, of receiving more and more of the tradition of the Torah. Torah is an infinite tradition. And if we learn even our whole lives, or even if a person would live 1,000 years or more, he would never finish learning the whole Torah. There's always more to learn. And the devotion, the dedication to learning over more, another law in the Torah, another law in the Torah, another insight in the Torah, to receiving from one's teachers, to receiving from the written word and from the oral word, this is all called the scales of the fish. It is all the positive shells. What is a positive shell in the Torah? The shell that has within it a fruit. That without the shell, the fruit cannot develop. What are the fins? The fins are for the sake of flying, of swimming as flying through the one's medium. That flying is the ability of the soul to innovate in the Torah. The ultimate purpose, it says, that every single Jewish soul, both men and women, and every single Jewish soul has new insights and innovation in the Torah that only that soul can reveal to the world. It's never yet been revealed, if it was all included within the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, but only you and me can reveal our particular portion in the Torah. That ability to reveal new insights, not just to receive and go over all of the infinity of the Torah as it is, that is the secret that's called swimming in the Torah. I'm able to swim in the sea, because if I can't innovate, I'm just stagnant, I'm static. I can't fly. So once more, the kaskeset, the scales, represent the totality of all of the existent revealed laws and even secrets of the Torah. Anything which is already has become the written word or even the oral word of tradition. That is called bikiut of the Torah. But the fins, the snapir, for swimming and flying, that's the power of the soul to innovate. And as though, as we said before, the living in the Torah itself, if it's impossible to innovate and to fly and to swim, it's as though I would ask the question, what am I here for in the first place? Because the purpose is not just, in a certain way, though, all of the learning of the Torah are that shell which is all for the purpose of developing the fruit. Now, the very word for fin in Hebrew. Now we'll conclude this thought, this meditation, but observing the words themselves, that the word for fin is a composite of two words, nes and pri. It's not pure. It's the miracle of fruit. The miracle of being able to bear new fruit, like purvu. Now, that word, snapir, as a number, equals 400. It's a very perfect number. It's the last letter of the alphabet, taf. It's also a square number. It's 20 squared. A fin equals 400, snapir. What about the other word for scale? These are two very special words that only appear in this context in the Torah. The scale kaskeset, amazingly, is three times fin. Because the way that you spell kaskeset is kuf sin, which is 400. Then once more it repeats itself, another kuf sin, which is another 400. And then finally, at the end of the word, there's a taf, which is another 400. So actually, in every scale, there are concealed three fins. You have three fins in a scale. If the word fin is 400, which is 20 squared, and you combine it with a kaskeset, which is 1200, three times 400, three times napir, so what do you have altogether? You have 1600, but 1600 is once more a square. It's 40 squared. It's the secret of the 40 days of the giving of the Torah. The initial letters of Snapir and Kaskeset are Samech Kuf, which is 1/10 of the full value. It's 160. As we saw in another context, that the initial letters are 1/10 of the full value. So they're very, very amazing and beautiful numerical phenomena about this union. The very fact that the sages say that whoever possesses a kaskeset, which now how are we understanding that, whoever learns, devotes himself to learn the laws, for sure he is going to be able to innovate. In fact, for every new law that he learns, he'll get three chidushim out of it. And his three chidushim, his three innovations, will be perfect, like the perfect number, 400. And each of those innovations is a nes, is a miracle, and a pri, a fruit, which has developed in this the holy shell of the kaskeset. And altogether, it comes out to be 40 squares, which is both the 40 days of the giving of the Torah, also represents the 40 days of the developing of the fruit within the womb, the uterus, a new fetus becomes defined after 40 days. Well, the same 40 days of the giving of the Torah. So once more, this week is the meditation is on the fish and the two signs of a kosher fish and how they become fish in the Torah, which means to learn as many scales as possible, and with every scale you get three fins to fly and swim.
You have been listening to a lecture by Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg, recorded and presented to you free of charge by Galina Institute. Your donation will help us to bring an ever-expanding selection of quality audio lectures by Rabbi Ginzburg. Galina Institute is a non-profit organization, and all donations are tax-deductible in the USA. To donate, just click on the Donate button on the Inner Dimension homepage at www.inner.org, www.inner.org. In Hebrew, Galinai means, open my eyes. These words are from the verse in Psalms, open my eyes, that I may behold the wonders of your Torah. Under the leadership of Rabbi Ginzburg, our goal is to open the world's eyes to the light of the inner dimension of Torah, to discover God, and to connect to Him in all that we do. As we learn from the Baal Shem Tov, Spreading this light will hasten the complete and true redemption. We invite you to join the Gali Night team and participate with Rabbi Ginsburg in learning, teaching, and spreading the inner dimension of Torah, Kabbalah, and Hasidut. Together, the Gali Night team will change the world, bringing God's loving kindness, health, happiness, and true peace to all. For more information about Rabbi Yitzchak Ginsburg's teachings and how to participate with the Gali Night team, visit the Inner Dimension website at www.inner.org. www.inner.org or email us at inner@inner.org.